Good morning. I'd like to remind you, being first Sunday of the month, that all money not designated will go to the oblation fund. Would you please bow with me? Dear Lord, we ask you for this wonderful morning and the gathering of this wonderful people. And we ask that as you give from the heart, you take their money and do your work. And bless it as it goes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is a joy to be able to welcome you and greet you this morning to this service of remembrance in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I trust that all of you are happy to be here and you rejoice for the opportunity to be here. So many times we kind of come in solemnly and I think, man, we need to be happy and rejoicing for this opportunity we have to gather and to worship and to share as brothers and sisters in the gospel. I know all of you have a bulletin, but for the purpose of our recording on the internet, I'm going to introduce those that will be sharing in the service this morning. I'm High Priest Dan Shear, will be presiding. Our invocation will be by Elder Rich Adams this morning. We will have a pastoral prayer by our pastor, Elder Alan Owings. The blessing of the bread will be by Priest Josiah Bates. The blessing of the wine will be by Elder David Bates. Our message this morning is by Priest Mike Hancock. And our closing prayer will be by 70 Nathan Shear. And we are happy to have Kelsey Chown as our pianist this morning. Just a reminder that we welcome all to worship and fellowship, but the partaking of the emblems this morning is in remembrance of the covenant that was made by each who were baptized by one having authority. I'd like to share an invitation to worship. It's taken from the book of Moroni, chapter 6, starting in verse 3. And none were received unto baptism, save they took upon them the name of Christ, having a determination to serve him to the end. And after they had been received in baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft, to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft, to partake of the bread and wine, in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Let's continue with the singing of hymn number 46, In God's Most Holy Presence. Will you stand?
Father, we're truly thankful for being gathered in this place. And Father, Allison and I are very thankful for this congregation, at the prayers that they have lifted for her behalf on this journey that we've been on. We're thankful and continue to ask for their guidance and prayers. We come this day to remembrance, as Dan said, and we come prepared to reach forth. And I ask that you be with everyone in this building and the men at their responsibility that they go forth. But I ask that you to hold up Mike as he brings a message this day. Mike ministers to me every time he speaks, every time he takes care of his daughter. I pray that you will give him the words to minister to the people in this building the way he ministers to me. We're thankful for the time that you have spent with him, molding him and bringing him into the man he is today and the ministry he is today. Guide and direct everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
you will remain seated, and if you will turn to hymn number 275, we'll sing this as a hymn of preparation in preparing to partake of the emblems. 275.
Our dear Heavenly Father, this morning it is with great joy and honor and a privilege to be allowed to be a part of this feast that you have laid out before us. And dear Father, I humbly pray that each one of us this day has made proper preparation to meet you. And I pray that after we have partaken of this communion, that we will be made white as snow. And I pray, dear Father, that you will guide our lives. We are so blessed to be where we are. We are so blessed to have each one that is here with us this day. The love that is within this room. The many talents that are within this room. And dear Father, each one of us wants to serve you. We long for your return. We long to have part in building your kingdom. Just bless us this day, dear Father. Please keep us safe. Please keep us healthy. And please open the doors, dear Father, whether it's in this community or around the world. For I know there are willing servants in this room that will reach out and minister to those who are willing to accept. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you kneel as much as possible facing the altar and say the prayer of blessing and bread?
Mm-hmm. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Please kneel with me as I say the prayer for the wine.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have his spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you. Hello, Saints. It's a joy to be up here with you worshiping. Not so much a joy to stand right here where I'm at right now, but it is a joy to be here today with each of you. And when I was asked and I agreed to do this today, to speak, and I knew it was sacrament, you know, oftentimes when I sit through a sacrament service, I remember a time when I was a boy. I think I might have been 11 or 12 years old, and I was in a sacrament service at that time in Lexington where I attended. And Karen's brother Doug was speaking, and he gave a medical description of what Jesus endured on the cross. And it's still very clear in my memory today, and I'm not going to do that this morning to the same way that he did, but it really was something that made an impact on me then, and even today I can still remember Doug speaking and describing it, and you know, some of the things that came to mind, you know, our word excruciating, its origin is from crucify, and we all know that term, you know, what it means, how we describe the biggest pains we can think of as excruciating, you know, and it's arguably probably the most painful death that man has ever invented. And just a few points, you know, that I won't go into the detail. Doug's a doctor, so he did it much better than I would be able to replicate, but, you know, the position that the victim is on the cross, you know, makes breathing very difficult. And painful, even to take a breath. The pressure on your chest cavity is extreme. And because of that, you don't get oxygen, and your blood level, your CO2 level rises, and your heart wants to pump harder to compensate, but it can't get that oxygen. And, you know, so what happens is you have a combination of awful things that you endure that will eventually lead to your death, and dehydration, suffocation, and even heart failure. And I always think about that when I sit in a service like this, that Jesus did that for each of us. And he did it for a very clear, right reason. He did it so we all had the opportunity to spend eternity with him and our Heavenly Father in paradise. He did it to atone for our sins, all of our sins here today, and the sins of the world. And he did this for us willingly so we could be forgiven. And today that's what I wanted to speak about, was the idea of forgiveness. And he set the great, perfect example. And I had a few statements here. An exercise to see if you can identify who I am. So I'm going to read them and just think to yourself if you know who I'm talking about. I was falsely accused and sent to prison. Later, I was released from prison and given a lofty position of leadership in a foreign land. For many years, I was separated from my family. I interpreted the dreams of a butler, a baker, and a ruler. Because of famine, my family left their homeland and moved to where I was living, and therefore I was able to help them. I see a lot of smiles now. This one is a really good giveaway. When I was a boy, my father gave me a beautiful coat. And the last statement, although my brothers sold me to slave traders, I forgave them. We had a joyful reunion in Egypt and lived for very many years. Who is that? Correct. And I was looking today for great examples of forgiveness, and that's always one of the best to use. The story of Joseph, all that he endured. Very many times in his life, it would have been very common of a reaction for him to not do what he actually did, to say, why me, and to have pity, and to be angry, and to let his heart and his mind entertain those emotions and negativities. But he didn't. He did not. He was a forgiving man, and because of that, I think we have a record of him today. And the choices that he made were a great example for us to read. And you know, if he hadn't made those choices, it's doubtful that we would know the story of Joseph. But the idea that I liked about him is he chose the option that's what the scriptures ask us all to do, is when something affects you and somebody offends you, you can either hold on to that and dwell on it, or you can forgive them. And he forgave. And it's a very neat account in Genesis that we have today, and I read it several times preparing for today. And because of his forgiveness, he didn't have those negative feelings of anger or hate or resentment. The Lord's Spirit worked in his life, throughout his life. And his heart had room for the great Spirit to come in and to direct him. And I always felt that the Spirit's a gentle spirit, and there's many things that we can do to drive it away. There's also many choices and an attitude that we can take on our experiences, that if we allow feelings of hurt or resentment, or, you know, I want to get revenge, if those are on our minds and our hearts, the Spirit doesn't have room to work. And it takes up that real estate the Spirit needs. And Joseph was a great example of someone who overcame. And because of that, we all know his story now in the scriptures. And we can find encouragement from him and reading how he coped. And I really enjoyed the chapter, I think it's 45 in Genesis, where he finally reveals himself to his brothers after they've seeked out him for food during the famine. And it was a joyous reunion. And, you know, their initial reaction was natural. They were ashamed when they first realized who he was. But he had nothing of that. He wanted them to embrace him and to enjoy being reconciled together. And he immediately forgave them. And I just really enjoyed reading that. And, you know, I like to give examples about myself personally when I'm up here speaking. It helps me relate to what I'm going to discuss. And so the topic of forgiveness, my beautiful bride can attest, I don't need to have a very good memory to have an example of where I've needed forgiveness. I came up with a couple just this week of... both of these happened on the same day. We had a dentist appointment this week, so my normal routine was a little different that day. And I was actually home in the morning when both Madison and Hannah were waking up and getting breakfast. And I was helping prepare Madison's breakfast. And I think in one hand, Hannah had... a bowl of cereal, and I had poured some milk into it. And, you know, she also needed some water in Madison's water cup. And, you know, so I was, you know, I was trying to get all of this, and she asked me, "Hey, can you give me some milk?" "Oh, no, wait, water, no, what?" And it just really was confused. And then, backing up a little, the day before, we have a silverware drawer, and we know, you know, the forks go here, the spoons go here, knives, so and so, so forth. And earlier that morning, I had opened up the drawer, and where the forks are clearly always placed was 5 or 6 spoons. And so she asked me for water, or for milk, I don't remember which one, but she was holding the one that she asked me for. And I said, "Is something wrong with your brain or something? I mean, what is going on?" And of course, it was another time for her to remind me of my lack of sensitivity, and that may not have been the best way to phrase my question, and it probably wasn't a good way to express concern I may have had for her. So of course, I apologized, and she forgave me even before. Nothing is wrong with her brain, and I did not mean to imply that. And the same day, normally I'm up and prepared for work, and I leave before Madison wakes up, and so I can step into her room and you know, whisper I love her and tell her that I'll see her later, and she's sleeping. But today, that day, our dentist day, she was awake, and so that's always difficult for me. when she asked me to do something and I can't do it. And of course, she wanted me to stay home instead of going to the office, and I couldn't do it. And so, you know, she got upset, and she's got me wrapped around her finger. And she said, you know, Dada coming, you know, and patted next to her, Dada coming, over and over, and I couldn't do it. I knew I couldn't do it. I went out to the car, and I came back in a couple of times. But, you know, we kept going over with her, you know, Dada's going to work, and then we would go over her day, you know, she's going to play with Mama, you know, and she's going to eat lunch, she's going to take a night-night, she'll play some more, and then Dada will come home. And all throughout that day, when I would speak to them on the phone, she would recount the series of events of what was going to happen, and she had immediately forgiven me before I even walked out the door. And it was just a perfect example of, you know, she didn't get what she wanted, and I didn't give her what she wanted, but she immediately forgave me. And I thought those were two really good examples. I found a great story that I'm going to try to recount to you, of another example of forgiveness. In this story, I found, and it's about Ronald Cotton and Jennifer Thompson. And Jennifer was a victim of a very serious crime in 1984. And the next day, you know, she went and reported it to the police, and was very determined that she would do everything possible to make sure the person who committed it was brought to justice. You know, so she remembered what the person's face looked like, the man, and she had a sketch artist created. And based on that sketch, the police pulled some photos of some men in the area that matched the description. And based on those photos, they put together a lineup. And Ronald was made aware that he was included on that list of potential suspects, and he knew what he was doing when the crime occurred, and that he had had nothing to do with it, and he had a great alibi. So he actually drove himself to the police department to see if he could clear things up, to tell him, hey, you know, I heard what happened, I just wanted you to know this is where I was, I did nothing to do with it. It didn't work out that way for him, though. Jennifer, during the lineup, identified Ronald as her attacker. And during the trial, she recounted the events and told the jury, you know, that man sitting right there is the one who did it. And based on that testimony, Ronald was convicted. And he was sentenced to life in prison plus 55 years. And Jennifer recalls now that she remembered thinking, I've done my job well. I know that Ronald will go rot in prison and he'll never see the light of day again, and she felt very good. I mean, from Ronald's perspective, you know, he was asked at his sentencing if he had anything to say, and he reiterated his innocence and pleaded with them, and actually sang a song to the court that he had written about how God came into his life and has helped him endure the time from when he was arrested to this day. I think it was about 7 or 8 months for the trial to progress. And he was struggling. So he's sent to prison, and he went to prison, and he went through a series of court-appointed attorneys and several failed appeal attempts. And as you can imagine, the life that he was experiencing was awful. And, you know, all along he knew that he was being subjected to it for no fault of his own. And actually, in 1995, so 11 years, he was granted a motion that his new attorneys, had asked for DNA testing to be done on evidence collected at the crime and compared against him. When he originally stood trial, that was not something that was possible. And the DNA tests exonerated Ronald. And they actually pointed to a person who was an inmate at the same prison. And when the police approached him, he immediately confessed and admitted that he was the person who did the crime, not Ronald. So Ronald was set free. And they said that when Jennifer, going back to her, when the police came to her and told her what had happened, that the man she identified and has been serving in prison for the crime actually did not do it. You know, she said she felt like she was swimming in a sea of confusion. You know, she felt shame. She felt anger. And she felt fearful. She didn't know what Ronald White wanted to do to her. So 2 years after that, he was released. 2 years later, PBS actually contacted both of them, and they were going to do a documentary on the injustice. And Ronald had already agreed, and when Jennifer was approached, she said, okay, I'll do it, on one condition, that I don't have to see Ronald. I don't want to see him. I can't handle that. And that was fine. So they had this documentary, and she didn't want to watch it when it aired, but, you know, as a person who was in it, she was given a copy of it, and she sat down and watched it a few days later after it aired. And she remembered seeing Ronald's face when he was pondering out loud of why he was never contacted by Jennifer after he was exonerated. And she said that looking at him, she could see the pain and bewilderment on his face, and he didn't understand it. And all along the filming of the documentary, the crew and the people involved told Jennifer, you should give him a chance. He's not angry with you. He just is a great guy. And she didn't do it. But she said that moment when she watched him and she could see the look on his face, that's when it hit her that, you know, she needed to reach out to him. So she contacted the police department, and they met at a church. And this is a quote from her, and she said, when she met him, she said, if I spent the rest of my life telling you how sorry I am, it wouldn't come close to how I feel. And she said, can you ever forgive me? And you know, the great part of this story was Ronald's reaction. And he said, without hesitation, of course. He said, I'm not angry at you. I don't want you to spend the rest of your life looking over your shoulder thinking I'm out to get you. And I like this. He said, all I want is for us to go on and have a happy life. And that was what I really enjoyed about the story. And then, you know, a little bit more information on the two of them. They went on to author a book together on this ordeal. And they now actually go and give speeches. And Ronald's side of the speech is, you know, highlighting forgiveness and the powerful reaction that people have if you offer that to them. And they're really good friends, actually. Their families spend time together, and it's all possible because Ronald chose to forgive. Because he forgave Jennifer was able to forgive herself. And if it hadn't occurred to where Ronald had held a grudge, all the good that they have been doing since they have become friends would be gone. No one would hear their great story. I wouldn't have been able to share it with you today. And it was a simple choice that Ronald made. It was not easy, and it's not common, unfortunately, but he made it, he forgave her, and the impact is huge. I had a few questions I thought of that when we ponder ourselves, if we're forgiving, if we have a forgiving nature. So I'm going to read these out loud and ask you just to answer them as you hear me read them. Do you ever say, well, I forgive, but I can never forget? Are you ever secretly happy when something unfortunate happens to someone you don't like? Do you ever wish you could get even with someone for something they have done to you? Is there anyone you refuse to speak to or try to avoid? And these hit me too. Don't think that they don't. When you get angry with someone, do you sulk and take a few days to get over it? Do you ever talk unkindly to others about someone you think has offended you? Is there someone in your own family whom you resent just a little for something he or she has done? And we know that if we answered affirmative to any of those, that we have work to do being more forgiving. And I certainly can put my name on that list too. But the point, what I wanted to make today, the reason that we do it, sure, it shows our love that we are asked to have for everybody. But it also allows us to not have these feelings, the negative feelings that are associated with not forgiving, filling our hearts and our minds. Because when those emotions are there and those feelings are there, we don't have room for the Spirit to come in and to work and to help us make the choices that the Lord wants us to make. Just one last one, too. When you get in arguments with your brothers or sisters, do you bring up things they have done before that made you angry? That's very clearly you hadn't forgiven it, because part of forgiving is forgetting. Now, before I stood up, I leaned over and asked Nathan if he would help me out. So I have an object lesson I wanted to go over. So I have a couple. So here's a backpack. And I asked Nathan if he could just put this backpack on, and I asked that you observe him putting it on. So what do you think, Nathan? I mean, was that something that was light and easy, and would you describe it as a burden?
Yes.
Would you want to spend the rest of the day wearing that backpack?
No.
Okay, thank you. I meant to prep Nathan, and I didn't, and I apologize, but thank you very much. And what I wanted to show, this backpack is full of burdens, heavy burdens, and I made sure of that. And I labeled them, they're my weights. This one's called Revenge. This is resentment. Now, these are the dogs. I can lift heavier weights than this. But this is anger. And this one is hate. Now, when we choose not to be forgiving, those are examples of emotions and feelings that we have in our hearts and our minds. And they're a burden. And they're a burden to you. They're not a burden to anybody else. They're a burden to you, because you would carry those with you. And the impact that is felt by you alone. And it impacts, you've got this weight that you're constantly trying to struggle with and carry. And it's easy to get rid of if you make that choice to forgive. Could you handle that?
It's a lot easier.
Thanks, Nathan. Now, I kind of made a joke the last... how was it? Last night, I was over at Dan and Peggy's house, and Hannah blew the secret that I was going to use Dan as an example today up front. And so I have another object lesson. And when I was thinking about what to share, I thought through some recent experiences relating to Dan, I thought, what would be a really good one to use? And what Madison has termed her papa dance, I thought, well, that would be a great one. And everyone will really enjoy that. But I'm not using that today yet, Dan. So don't sweat too much. This one is a lot easier. So I have a dry erase board, right? And I'm going to draw a horizontal line on here. And Dan, you're pretty comfortable printing your name, correct? I mean, you do that a lot, right? So I just ask you if you would come up. I drew two lines. Simple enough. Can you come and print your name up on this top line, please? Wait a minute. One caveat. I need you to face that way, and I'm going to hold it.
I need to do what?
You need to face that way. that way, and I'm going to hold it here, and I need you to print your name across that top line. Go ahead, give it a shot.
Okay. There.
See? Thanks, Dan.
Oh, no problem.
The point of it is, when you choose not to forgive, you're focusing on something that happened to you in the past. And the simple task of printing your name, go ahead, Dan, hold it for me, print your name. Printing your name on a line or any simple task, when you're focusing on something that has occurred to you before, it's hard and you can't do it. I mean, Dan was probably very confident that he could do what I had just asked him until I asked him to face the opposite direction, because he was dwelling on something that happened to him in the past and he was holding on to it. And when he let that go, just like all of us could, he easily was able to write his name. Thanks, Dan. I wanted everyone to see you give it a shot. And today, when I was looking at the topic of forgiveness, I came across some really neat statements that others had offered before. And one of them is, forgiveness, it allows the love of God to purge your heart and mind of the poison of hate. It cleanses your consciousness of the desire for revenge. It makes a place for the purifying, healing, restoring love of our Lord. And one thing that I also came across, I think is important to note, when we forgive someone, it doesn't mean we're approving of their wrongdoing or their actions. It just means that we're asking, with the help of our Heavenly Father, that we can let go of the anger or the reaction, the resentment that we have towards the offender. And if we cease to dwell on that, we can feel His peace. And I don't think it's always an easy or a quick process, but I believe that the Lord helps us when we choose to do it. I'd like to read a few scriptures that address this point too. If you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And this is Jesus going over the Beatitudes. I'm going to read from verse 11. And blessed are all the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. That's the desire of each one of us, I'm sure, to be called His children. And then later on in chapter 6, the Lord is giving us the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to begin in verse 10. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is done in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And suffer us not to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And in verse 16, he adds emphasis to the part about forgiving those. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses who trespass against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And I think that makes it very clear that we don't have an option. We can't choose and say, well, that was too terrible of a thing that they did to me. I'm not going to forgive them. He makes it very clear. And another scripture that I found that I wanted to read, it comes from the Doctrine and Covenants. And it's section 64. And this addresses to the question of, is it up to us when to forgive, to decide when to forgive. So it's section 64, 2D through E. Wherefore I say unto you that ye ought to forgive one another. For he that forgiveth not his brother his trespasses standeth condemned before the Lord. For there remaineth in him the greater sin. I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive. But of you it is required to forgive all men. And ye ought to say in your hearts, let God judge between me and thee, and reward thee according to thy deeds. There it is spelled out again. He asks us to forgive all men. Another example, I'm not going to read it today, but I think it's very good about this point, is the parable of the Lord and his servant. That's in Matthew chapter 18. So today I went through and he gave you some examples. Myself, I am in need of forgiveness on a very regular basis, especially with my beautiful bride. And Ronald Cotton, the example that he shared with how he forgave his accuser. He was falsely accused and imprisoned. And he lost 11 years and he'll never return back to him. But he chose to forgive. The story of Joseph, the life that he lived, the impact that he made on not only his family, but the people who lived there in the land that he oversaw. That was all made possible because of the ability that he had to forgive. And what we did here before I stood up, we took part in the sacrament. And that was representative of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for each of us. And he made that sacrifice so that we could be forgiven. In closing, I'd like to leave this invitation with you from Doctrine and Covenants, section 85. Verse 16. And again, verily, I say unto you, my friends, I leave these sayings with you to ponder in your hearts, with this commandment which I give unto you, that ye shall call upon me while I am near. Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me. Ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then Doctrine and Covenants, section 12. Three A and B. Seek to bring forth and establish my Zion. Keep my commandments in all things, and if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, you shall have eternal life, which gift is the greatest gift of God.
Before Mike got up this morning, I leaned over and whispered to him that, remember, I do have the last word. So, as he was sharing, it brought to mind something that I shared Wednesday night. Many of you were at Brother Nolan's class last week, and he'll be having another class the 18th on the Inspired Version. Well, the last week or so, I've been listening to the King James Version on cassette tape in the truck while I'm driving, and going over through the book of Matthew, you know, it'll play, and then it'll rewind and play itself, so it's done it many times, and every once in a while, something will come out and think, I think, that just doesn't sound right. And this particular day, I made a note of it so I could go home and compare it to the Inspired Version, and it's from chapter 5 of Matthew that Mike referred to, and I just wanted to give you something to think about, and maybe encourage you to attend Jim's class on the Inspired Version. But it was from Matthew 5, 23 and 24, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And you heard that you shall not, it is said of them of old times, that thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment of God." And in the King James Version, it says this, "But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause." That just doesn't sound right, because you can be angry with your brother for any reason whatsoever. But the Inspired Version does not say without a cause. It says in 24, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment." So there are no causes to be angry with your brothers. So just something to think about and compare them, and encourage you to come back for Jim's class on the 18th and enjoy that. In closing, we will sing hymn number 376. 376.
Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to gather together here today and to remember that covenant that we have made with you in the waters of baptism. Lord, we would ask that as we go from this place that we might continue to remember that covenant, that we might continue to keep your commandments, that we might truly have your Spirit to be with us. We would ask these things that we might be able to go from this place as an example and as a witness to those around us, that we might be able to apply those things we have learned here today in our lives, that those around us might see something different in us and might know the reason why and the reason for those differences. Not that we might be glorified, but that we might bring others and to the knowledge of your truth. And all these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.